Lynette and Craig and I had a long day yesterday, up at 4 and got back to my 4:30 and got back to my house at 10 last night. I had the privilege and pleasure of being one of the speakers at Dr. Fred Price's celebration yesterday in Los Angeles, and we need to keep the Price family in prayer. I told them yesterday that 17 years ago, I was in the same position as they were. Not only did I lose my father, but I lost my ministry partner. And if you haven't been there, you don't understand that loss. But the father, but also the man that I was in the ministry with, for my partner in the ministry for 31 years, and the Price, Fred Jr. and Angela and Cheryl and Stephanie, they're at that position right now. If you haven't been there, you don't understand it. So I'll just go on from there. But let's keep them in prayer and continue. We continue to hold our faith for Michael, that for full recovery. I want you to continue to say, every time you think about it, I want you to continue to say, thank God for full recovery and no complications in the name of Jesus, because the Word of God says we can have what we say, right? We believe that, don't we? Then if we believe it, let's practice it. Amen. You know, I want to share something today. I call it, my title for it, I don't know what somebody else would call it, I just call it the power of attitude, your attitude. And I'm going to take this off of Ephesians 4:22, but I'm going to read it from the NLT. It says 22-24, throw off the old sinful nature, your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deceit. Now 23 is the verse I want you to particularly pay attention to. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on a new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Put off, throw off, in the natural, we put off old things all the time. I mean, we have an old coat and we put it off and we put on a new coat. I want to pay particular attention to that verse, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes, putting off old thoughts and on new thoughts. You know, the New International Version says, be made new in your attitude of your mind. The Amplified Version says, and be constantly renewed in spirit of your mind, having fresh mental and spiritual attitude. Now, I like that. A fresh mental and spiritual attitude. Our attitudes help us or hinder us in the natural as well as in the spiritual. You know, I guess this is something that, you do a little research, and it's something that they say that you need to continually work on all the time, is your attitude about everything. And so, one person said this, it's anonymous, thoughts dwelled upon become imaginations. Imaginations entertained will form attitudes within us. Our thoughts are the seed of our attitude. Our imagination is the soil from which our attitude grows. Now, everybody has an opportunity to either have a good, wholesome attitude or a negative, bad attitude. You know, sometimes we say about people, they got an attitude problem. Anybody ever seen that? Hugh Downs had this to say, a happy person is not a person with a certain set of circumstances, but rather a person with a certain set of attitudes. Now that's good. I'm going to read it again. I think some of you didn't get it. All right. A happy person is not a person with a certain set of circumstances, but rather a person with a certain set of attitudes. You know, there's somebody else that said this. It's anonymous. I've heard it many times. Growl all day and you'll feel dog tired at night. Anybody ever heard that before? I see some people shaking their heads. So with this, we see our attitude in life is important. It determines what we get, what we receive, and actually eventually our outcome in life. But it also is in the spiritual area the same way. You know, I use sporting events, sporting a lot, but and if you're going to compete in a sporting event, you may have the physical attributes, but if you don't have the right attitude in your mind, mental attitude, you're not going to be successful. How many of you guys that have played ball have heard a coach tell you that? You got to be ready mentally and physically. So, you know, what is your level of desire? Or in the sporting world, we might say, how bad is your want to? How bad do you want all of the blessings of God? How bad do you want to be a success in life? You know, if you're going to be successful, you got to adopt the attitude that you do a little extra. Now, I used to, my kids get on me, I said extra like you're supposed to, but I used to call it extra. How many of y'all remember that? See, I'm learning to talk correctly, okay? After all these years, I don't know how long it'll last, but I'm trying. You know, I ran track, that was my best sport. I wanted to win. And when the coach would dismiss everybody to go to the showers and get changed and everything, I would stay out and run extra laps. I would run, my specialty was the 220 yard dash, which they have, I think they call it the 200 meters now, but at that time it was 220 dash, and a lot of you were in that category. How many of you were in my category? Yeah, you got yards instead of meters. But I would run 5, 6, 8, 9, 10 extra. See, I said it again. Extra laps are 220s, because my want to was bad enough that I was willing to put in extra effort, extra time. I have seen a lot of people that want to really be on top spiritually, but they are not willing to put the time in studying the word, praying, coming to church. Come on. That's part of it. You know, our attitude determines whether we win or lose, succeed or fail, survive or die. I'm going to read something here from a survivor of the Holocaust. His name is Viktor Frankl, and he wrote a book, and he was in a concentration camp, and his mother and his father, brother, his wife were all killed in the camp, and he spent 3 years in various camps. But he wrote in his book, "We who lived in the concentration camps can remember the men who walked through the huts comforting others, giving away their last piece of bread. They may have been few in number, but they offered significant proof that everything can be taken from a man but one thing. The last of the human freedoms, is to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. It says everything can be taken, but the last human freedom is to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances. When circumstances that are not that good come your way, you can wring your hands and say, "Oh my God, what am I going to do?" Or you can begin to quote the Word of God. "I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I'm an overcomer. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. No weapon formed against me will prosper." See, it depends on your attitude. You can have that negative, doubting attitude, or you can have a positive, believing attitude. It's up to you. A Harvard study by Harvard University revealed that 85% of the reasons for success and accomplishments and promotions and so on were because of our attitude. Only 15% because of technical expertise. Did you know you can teach somebody with a good attitude technical things? But it's very hard to teach somebody that they may have the technical expertise, but their attitude stinks. I just say it like that. That's the way we talk anyway. So today, my whole premise is to encourage you to renew your mind with the Word of God, like it says, like I read there, so that your attitudes are right. Our attitude is a result of information that we have fed to our mind. Okay? Now, Romans 12:2, you know, we know what it says. We read it all the time. "Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God." Now, the New International says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we know what the rest of the scripture, I just want to zero in on that for sake of time. The New Living Translation says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person, changes the way you think." And the way you think causes attitude. And then I want to read the whole thing here in the Message Bible. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be really changed from the inside out, readily recognizing what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. I like that. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. Don't become so well adjusted, the NLT says, to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Now let me say this. We are fed information all of the time through advertising, through news programs, through our sitcoms and through things, movies and things that are on the television. We are fed things into our mind all the time that changes our way of thinking and changes our attitude. Now, don't look at me like you think I fell out of a tree. I did, but I didn't hit my head. It is what is fed into our mind that changes our attitude, the way we think about things. That is why he says it several times. It's so important to renew your mind with the Word of God so that you don't fit into the customs and the culture around you and begin to think it's all right. Come on now, don't look at me like that. Some of you are sitting there looking at me. It's the truth. And you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You see, if we feed upon what the world says, our thinking and our attitudes will be no different than theirs. Do you realize that music is a powerful attitude setter? That's why we keep in our house, we got going back in our bedroom right now, it's the music, Christian music. Actually, because we use it to sleep by, Stan Whitmore just playing on the piano. The old songs that we, Lynette and I, we grew up with, they singing them in church. And it goes in our bedroom 24 hours a day. And then I got a little, one of them little speakers. I think they used to have them out in the bookstore. And then I've got my playlist here. If I go into my office, I hook it up by Bluetooth and start playing music. 90% of the time when I walk in, sometimes there's so much going on, I don't do it. But 90% of the time when I walk into my office over there, I think it's called Jawbone. It's a speaker sitting right back on my cadenza. I hook this phone up to it and start playing the music. Why? Because I have come to the realization that the more I feed my mind on the things of God through music, through everything else, the more my attitude is toward believing and possessing everything that God says is mine. You see, what you hear, that's why, I mean, when you come home from work, some of you need, the minute you get in your car, you need to put on some music or put on, you can get the word, somebody reading the word, because you have been around everything that is negative all day long on the job, and you have to close your ears sometimes to what some people are saying because the words they're saying are horrible. And the thing about it is that can have an effect on you, so you need to completely, you need to renew your mind. You ever been around somebody and their talk was so filthy that when you left, you felt like you need to go take a shower? Anybody ever been there beside me? I mean, every other word out of their mouth was not good. But we don't realize this, but this is the enemy trying to program our minds so our attitude changes from what the word says to what the world says. You know, this instruction, it says that it will transform us. These scriptures I'm talking about said it will transform us. It will transform our attitudes, our thinking, the way we act. Do you realize the way we act and the way we respond to something comes from our thinking and our attitude? Excuse me. Renewing your mind will make a big difference in your life. William James, he's an American psychologist, he said this: the greatest discovery is that human beings can alter their lives by altering their attitude of mind. You can renew the mind. Now, our attitude will determine what God will do for us. I want to go back and read from the New Living on this. Numbers 14, 20 through 24. It's the children of Israel. The Lord said, I will pardon them as you have requested. Moses had requested the Lord. But as surely as I live, as surely as the earth is filled with the Lord's glory, not one of these people will ever enter the land. They have all seen my glorious presence and miraculous signs performed both in Egypt and in the wilderness. But again and again, they have tested me by refusing to listen to my voice. They will never see the land I swore to give to their ancestors. None of those who have treated me with contempt will see it. But my servant Caleb has a different attitude than the others have. He has remained loyal to me, so I will bring him into the land he explored. His descendants will possess their full share of the land. Now here they are standing at the edge of the promised land. And the spies went in and the spies came back. We all know this story. You know, 10 of them came back with a negative attitude. We can't. Joshua and Caleb came back with the attitude, we can't. And their attitude had them focusing on the problem rather than focusing on the promise of God, on what God said. You see, the two with the positive attitude on what God said, instead of focusing on, yeah, they saw the giants, they saw all of the walled cities, they saw all of that too, but they focused not on that, but they focused, and their attitude was, we can do it because God said so. The others, we can't. And they didn't. But Joshua and Caleb did. You know, Clement Stone said, there is little difference in people, but that little difference makes a big difference. That little difference is attitude. The big difference is whether it's positive or negative. In these verses, we see that God responded to the Israelites according to the way they responded to him. Their attitude caused them, one's attitude of negativism caused them to respond one way. Two had a positive attitude and they responded a different way. Our attitude is what influences us. It's what influences us as we speak. It's what influences us in what we believe. It's what influences our action. You know, if you have a bad negative attitude, you can now count on it that the enemy is working on you. As my dad used to say, you can say amen or oh me. If you have a good positive attitude, all things are possible because the word says so, then you'll go out and win. Attitude in the circumstances we face shows us how much we have allowed God's word to change our attitude. Our attitude, now I'm going to say that again, get a hold of it. Your attitude, the way you respond when you face the circumstance, you know, is determined on whether you have adopted a negative attitude or a positive attitude based on the Word of God. Now, let's look at this. The power to experience change in our life comes after we have developed new attitudes. Now let's go back to Ephesians 4:23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, the King James says. New Living says, instead let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Common English Bible says, instead renew your thinking in your mind by the Spirit. It is true. We cannot change a thing without God's help. That's why he told us to say with confidence, The Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. See, the attitude you take will either bring fear or bring a positive confession. I can do it. The Word of God says, and I'm just going to paraphrase some scriptures here. You know, everybody can be against us, but why are we being afraid? Because we have God on our side. Now, that's a combination of several different scriptures put together. But that's the way we need to think. That's our attitude we need to have. It doesn't matter what comes or what doesn't come. What matters is our attitude toward that situation, whether we accept it and say, oh, my God. Or whether we say, oh, yeah, my God will bring the answer. My God will supply my needs. My God will see me through. You see, it's the difference in your attitude of your thinking, and your attitude of your thinking comes from being renewed in this word right here, day in and day out. It takes an effort to feed on the Word of God. The minute you sit down to read the Word of God, the phone will ring, the baby will cry, somebody will ring the telephone. Everything in the world will happen because the enemy does not want you to get in the Word, because if you get in the Word, your attitude will change and he can no longer manipulate you. That goes back to, remember the sermon I preached, I think it was back at Winter Bible, don't be a devil, a puppet of the devil or whatever. I forgot how the title was. But you see, what I'm talking about, the devil manipulates us through our mind. He can't get to us any other way. That's why we got to renew the mind with the Word of God. He will challenge us to have a negative attitude 24/7. When we need to have a positive attitude 24/7. All the time. You know, have you ever seen somebody just has a hateful attitude? It's because of what they feed on. You can have the hateful attitude, or you can have an attitude of love and kindness. You can change. Listen to this now. You can change your chaotic and troubled attitude to an attitude of peace and joy. It's up to you. It's your choice. If you're going to live a successful life naturally, are in the Christian area, you're going to have to learn to change your attitudes in everything. The Bible talks about, people always talk about spirit, 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 spirit. And that's great. And we got to have that. And that is very necessary. And you start talking about the mind and everybody says, oh, don't go there. Hey, the Bible has a lot to say about the mind. Because the spirit controls the man on the inside. But we live in this world. We live in two worlds at the same time. We live in a natural world and a spiritual world. And the natural world is controlled by our mind. The spiritual world is controlled by the spirit that lives within inside of us. So we are told to renew the mind so that we can live in the spirit in the world before we're taken out. Anybody understand what I'm saying there? You know, yeah, we're in this world. And according to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:4, the devil is the god of this world, little g. In other words, he has control because Adam gave him that control when he yielded to the temptation in the garden. and God kicked him out. And he is in the world. Our mind is, and we're, our physical being lives in the world. But we can change that mind and that physical being by what the Word of God says, by having the proper attitudes according to the Scripture. How many of you understand what I'm trying to say to you this morning? How many of you are getting a hold of what I'm talking about? Now, be honest with me. We all, I've been there. I can raise my hand too. How many of you, the enemy has come to you or still comes to you with coming to your mind to get you to have an attitude of negativism and pessimism and all kinds of stuff? Well, I got 50 people, 100, now about 100 raised their hand. Hey, did the rest of you hear what I said? Because you're no different than us. The enemy comes to all of us. He wants to destroy us. But the Word of God is what will keep us alive and keep us having a wonderful life, more abundant life, a rich life, a life full of all of the things of God. And now, right here, everybody wants to go to the spiritual side. No, God is talking about in the natural and the spiritual. He wants us to be happy and successful in both areas. And it all comes back to the renewing of our mind and walking with an attitude that says, I believe God. He said it. I believe it. That settles it. And nothing can change it. Our attitude sets the parameters of our life. It will either limit or release us in the natural and also in the spiritual. So, let me close this out by saying, let us determine to develop the attitudes that God wants us to have so that we can walk in success and victory both naturally and in the spiritual area. And it comes back to something that I say all the time, and I know you'll probably get tired of it, but that's all right. I'm going to say it anyway. The natural and the supernatural working together make the explosive force for God. It's not all natural. It's not all supernatural. Because like I said, we live in this world in the physical name, but we live in this world in the spiritual realm. We bring them together, and man, we got something going on. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Well, did anybody get anything out of this today? Hallelujah. I just wanted a few moments there to talk about that. It's something that some people won't talk about, but it's very important. Our attitudes determine everything, spiritually and naturally. Turn to your neighbor and say, your attitude will determine your success naturally or spiritually. It's up to you. Come on now. You know, people always come in, oh, pray this, pray for me here, pray for me there. You know, sometimes they don't need prayer. They just need to get in the Word. I've heard my daddy tell people this. If you don't know who he was, and he was Kenneth E. Hagin. He was one of the, listed as the apostle of faith to this generation. You know, several generations, really. But he would say it all. I've heard him say it to people. Hey, come up and Brother Hagin, pray for me about that. He said, you don't need to pray about that. If you get in the Word, the answer's in the Word. Oh, yeah, but I want somebody to pray for me. See, they didn't want to do anything to change their situation. They want somebody to pray that it will change. Come on now, that's good preaching right there. As Brother Bill said, I should have got a whole lot more amens on that than. Hello now. All right, praise the Lord. I don't need to get started again, okay? Change your attitude and it'll change your way of life. That's a good saying, isn't it? Change your attitude and you'll change your way of life. That's a good saying. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, I spoke to these people for a few moments today to stir up their minds and their hearts about attitude and renewing of the mind with the Word of God so that we can be successful in every area of our life, spiritually and naturally. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you keep your heads bowed for just a moment? I don't like to preach a sermon that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, or somebody to rededicate their life to God. You know, there's a lot of people that have accepted Christ, but they just haven't walked in that, and they need to rededicate their lives. Or you might be in here and you say, oh, I am a born-again Christian, but I have never received that biblical experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit that it talks about in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. You'd say, I would like to receive that experience of being filled with the Spirit today. If you're here on any one of those three invitations, you need to rededicate your life. You need to receive Christ as your personal Savior. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to pray with you and for you, but I can't do that if I don't know who you are. So would you please just slip a hand up and say, that's me. I want you to pray with me. Right now, I'm looking all over the room. Is there any hands going up? I see some hands. There's any hands anywhere going up, anybody? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, I don't see any hands in this place today. Upstairs? Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see that. There was somebody stretching a while ago that I thought was a hand going up. I think they were just stretching. And I figured it out and didn't say anything. But it was one upstairs. Was that where it was, upstairs? Okay. Would you mind, if you raised your hand, would you mind letting the usher help you to come down the stairs and come right down here so I can pray with you, please? Everybody stand. That'll make it easy to get in. If you're like this one that raised their hand, and you should have raised your hand, but you didn't. You wanted to raise your hand. I want you to come too. Just step out in the aisle and come on down here. The ushers will help you get here. It's just, come on. I'm going to wait for that one to come from the balcony. It's worth waiting for. It's worth the long walk. If you raise your hand, we're waiting on you. If you didn't raise your hand and you want to raise your hand, we're waiting on you. Come on. And I'm waiting on you. I'm going to wait just a few moments. And all to thee. If you should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, come on, raise. I know one person raised their hand. Don't let the enemy cheat you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you right now. No one is responding. Even the one that raised their hand is not responding. I pray that the Holy Spirit, there's one person in this room that needs salvation or needs to rededicate their life. I pray that the Holy Spirit will go with them and they won't be comfortable until they stop and acknowledge you as Lord and Savior in their lives. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.